Reading from chapter 10, and today we'll discuss verse 15. So 10, 15. This is 465 in my book.
देवदेवा जगत्पते स्वमेव आत्मनम् वेत्रत्वं पुरुषोत्तमा भूतभावनभूतेशा देवदेवाजगत्पते स्वमेव आत्मनात्मानम् वेत्ते त्वं पुरुषोत्तमः भूतपावनभूतेशः देवदेवा जगत्पते त्वमेव आत्मनात्मानम् वेत्ते त्वं पुरुषोत्तमः भूतभावनभूतेशः देवदेवा जगत्पते स्वमेव आत्मनात्मानम् वेत्तं त्वं पुरुषोत्तमः भूतभावनभूतेशः देवदेवा जगत्पते स्वमेव आत्मनात्मानम् वेत्ते त्वं पुरुषोत्तमः भूतभावनभूतेशः देवदेवा जगत्पते हरे कृष्ण. So, what meaning? You can repeat after me. Swayam, personally. Aim, certainly. Atmana, by yourself. Atmanam, yourself. Ith, no. Tvam, you. Purush Uttama, greatest of all persons. भूत भावना ओरिजिन ऑफ एवरीथिंग भूतेशा ओ लॉर्ड ऑफ एवरीथिंग देव देवा लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल डेमिगॉड्स जगत पते ओ लॉर्ड ऑफ द एंटायर यूनिवर्स Translation, indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, Lord of gods, Lord of the universe. Translation responsibly, you can repeat after me. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Purport, the Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service, like Arjuna and his followers. Persons of demonic or atheistic mentality cannot know Krishna. Mental speculation that leads one away from the Supreme Lord is a serious sin, and one who does not know Krishna should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the statement of Krishna, and since it is the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood it. It should not be received from atheistic persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vadantitat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yad Jyanam Adhvayam Prameti Padmatiti Bhagavan Iti Sabdhite. The Supreme Truth is realized in three aspects. As impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the last stage of understanding the Absolute Truth, one comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Common man or even a liberated man who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma may not understand God's personality. Such men, therefore, endeavor to understand the Supreme Person from the verses of Bhagavad Gita, which are being spoken by this person, Krishna. Sometimes the impersonalist accept Krishna as Bhagavan, or they accept his authority, yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Purushottama. Yet, one still may not understand that Krishna is the father of all living entities. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him as Bhut Bhavana. And if one comes to know him as the father of all the living entities, still one may not know him as the supreme controller. Therefore, he is addressed here as Bhutesha, the supreme controller of everyone. And even if one knows Krishna as the supreme controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of all the demigods. Therefore, he is addressed herein as Deva Deva, the worshipful god of all demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipful god of all demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore, he is addressed as Jagatpati. Thus the truth about Krishna is established in this verse by realization of Arjuna, and we should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna as he is. Hare Krishna. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण।
इन दिस एज वी टॉक्ड अबाउट मेनी टाइम्स, चैप्टर 9 एंड 10 आर द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट चैप्टर, दे आर द बटर जेली पार्ट ऑफ द पीनट बटर जेली सैंडविच, स्पेशली चैप्टर 10th, बिकॉज इट कंटेन्स द फोर मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट वर्सेस ऑफ चतुर्थ श्लोकी भगवद गीता, विच इज द वर्स 8, 9, 10 एंड 11 ऑफ चैप्टर 10, दैट मेक्स चैप्टर 10 वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट, बिकॉज दिस फोर वर्सेस contains the essence of Bhagavad Gita. In this verse, Arjuna is speaking. Actually, in the starting of chapter 8, Arjuna has posed 7 questions. He is asking Krishna, Kim tad Brahma, Kim adhyatmanam? That is verse where Arjuna is asking Krishna, who is Brahmin, who is self? What are the fruitive activities? He is asking a series of questions. That is the verse of 1st and 2nd of chapter 8. Then Krishna starts replying, and he continues replying through the chapter 9th and 10th till the verse 11th of chapter 10th, which is the end of this, the four slokas of the Shloki Bhagavad Gita. Then in the verse 12th, Arjuna starts speaking. After hearing from Krishna the answers of the questions, he understood Krishna and he accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And he starts speaking, Arjuna Vacha, Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam, Ajam Vibhum. Says, I accept Krishna, you as Param Brahma. Param Dhamam, you are the ultimate abode. And he continues, he goes on, he says, this has already been accepted by all the great sages. Asito Devala Vyasa, Swayam Chaiva Brivishme. Say, Asito Devalo Vyasa, Narad. They all accepted your authority. You are just declaring this to me at this time, but they already accepted your authority as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he continues in the verse 14th, he says, Krishna, I accept whatever you said as truth. Whatever Krishna said from chapter 8 to chapter 10th, he said, I accept everything as truth. Even the demigods and demons, they can't understand you. So Krishna says in one of the verses in chapter 7 that Na maam duskritno mudha, prapadyante naradhama, maya aparat jnana, ashwarim bhavam ashrita. He says, the people who are atheistic, the demons, whose intelligence has been stolen by the illusion, maya aparat jnana, they can't understand me. It continues, he repeats the same thing here. Arjuna says, yes, demons, even the demigods cannot understand you, forget the demons. So if neither the demigods nor the demons can understand Krishna, so who can understand Krishna? And Krishna, Arjuna continues, he says, Krishna, in this verse, he says, you can only understand yourself by your own internal potency. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency, O Supreme Person. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yes, definitely he can understand himself by his own internal potency, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, not at one place, at many places. There is a famous sloka of chapter 18, Bhaktya Maam Abhijanati Yavan Yashyatmi Tattvata Yato Maam Tattvato Gyatva Vishite Tad Anantaram. He says, my devotees can know me, not only know me, can know me in Tattvata, as it is, as I am. The only possibility to know Krishna is through the devotional service.
His my devotees can only know me. And he repeats this again and again in each, I think every chapter has got this essence that my devotees can only know me. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. That will say neither the demigods nor the demons, nobody knows you. But Krishna says only my devotees can know me. In tatvata, in truth, as I am. And the Prabhupada, he in this verse, in the purport, he starts with, says Krishna can only be understood by devotional service. That is the first line of the purport. So he says Krishna can only be understood by the devotional service. So what is this devotional service? We discussed many times this Prahlad Maharaj had given this Navada Bhakti. But what is this really devotional service? The two main branches of devotional service, out of this 9 processes of bhakti, the two main processes of devotional service are called, one is called Bhagavat Vidhi, and other is called Panch Ratrika Vidhi. It's very important to understand why we worship the deity. So we'll see. So Bhagavat Vidhi is focuses on hearing and chanting the names of the Lord. Hearing and chanting the names of the Lord and preaching, this is one branch of devotional service and it's called Bhagavat Vidhi. The other branch is called Pancharatrika Vidhi, and which focuses on around the deity worship. So we'll see today, we talked a lot about, we all discussed many times what is this hearing and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Today we'll discuss this Pancharatrika Vidhi, what is deity worship. We'll see why one should worship deity. Why one should worship deity and the various methods in light of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So, deity worship, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he has given 5 reasons. He has given 5 reasons why one worships deity. And how the condition and what the conditioned soul benefits by worshipping the deity. There's a difference between archana and bhajan. Archana is formal and regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. The definition of archana is the formal and regulated offering of respect and service to the Lord. So archana is regulated. Archana is regulated. Why? Because the conditioned soul, like us, we don't have natural propensity to offer respect to the Lord automatically. This is for people like us, neophytes. So we don't have natural inclination, we don't have natural tendency or propensity to offer the respect to the Supreme Lord. And that's why we need a process which is formal and regulated. So archana is specifically meant for people like us, the conditioned souls, the Kanishta Adhikaris, who do not have a natural propensity to automatically offer respect and service to the Lord. The bhajan is different than archana. Bhajan is like if somebody has already taken the shelter of the holy name. He's already taken the shelter of the holy name, and he's reciprocating with the Lord. He's already elevated devotee, he's a pure devotee. So he does not need this regulated and formal
way to offer the respect to the Lord. That he is always remembering the Lord in his mind and in his heart all the time. So that is bhajan. So archana is more important for a neophyte devotee or for a sadhak who is trying to progress in this spiritual path. So the first reason, we will talk about this why one should worship the deity and how the conditioned soul benefit by worshipping the deity. The first reason which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has given was our acharyas, they have given great significance to the deity worship. They put a lot of emphasis on the deity worship. In Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, he has given 64 items which are favorable to the devotional service. And out of 64 items, more than 35 are connected with the deity worship. So this shows us how important the deity worship is. And then, Sanatana Goswami, he has given various descriptions, and then Sanatana Goswami, he has written Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives details about, is like detailed encyclopedia of deity worship. So, deity worship has been popular in India for ages. It's nothing new for us. But what has happened? We have lost, or people in India, they have lost contact with the Shastras. They have no knowledge about the Shastra. All the deity worship has been existent for ages. That's why this whole deity worship has become more mechanical and ritualistic. Because we have lost our connection with the Shastras. There was a person, he was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you have no bells in your temples. Have you seen any bells in the ISKCON temples? There are no bells in the temple. All other Hindu temples you will find this bell, but in ISKCON temples you will not find this bell. He was arguing with Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you don't have any bells in your temples. What kind of temples do you have? So Prabhupada said, our bells are within our mouth, our tongue. We vibrate our tongue and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We don't, all the other, he says, and this Sankirtan, the loud Kirtan, a loud chanting of holy name of the Lord, that is the main activity in our temples in ISKCON, So all other temples have become only the bell ringing temples, because they have lost the real devotion. They just have become the bell ringing temples. So Prabhupada commented, he says, all of Hindu temples have become the bell ringing temples now. So this is our acharya, they have given a series of reasons why and the various methods of worshipping the deity. Therefore, and we follow our acharyas. We say this following the footsteps of acharyas. Mahajana yena gata sapantha. So these are the first reason why we do deity worship. The second reason is, say the descent of Archa, or Lord appearing in the deity form, is the causeless mercy of the Lord on the Kanishtha Adhikari. Everybody knows Kanishtha Adhikari? Who is Kanishtha Adhikari? There are three levels of in bhakti, as you progress, there are three levels, right? It's called Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. And basically, we can go into so many details, but basically, it is categorized by the extent of one has identified himself with his false ego. So this Kanishtha Adhikari was the lowest level of sadhaka or a neophyte devotee. As Kanishtha Adhikari, he has got a massive false ego. This false ego is really very big. So as he engages himself in serving the Lord in devotional service, he gets purified and he comes to the stage of Madhyam Adhikari. And the Madhyam Adhikari, when he continues worshipping the Lord and offering loving devotional service to the Lord, he comes to the stage of Uttam Adhikari. And Uttam Adhikari has, he is free from false ego. He has no false ego. He is situated in his true ego. And what is our true ego? We are the eternal servants of Krishna. That is our true ego. So that is Uttam Adhikari. So, Kanishtha Adhikari is the people like me, like us. The lower, the beginners or the neophyte devotees who are trying to advance in this path. So, second region of deity worship said that descent of Archa or descent of the deity is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord on the Kanishtha Adhikari. Why it is so? The Kanishtha Adhikari has got two symptoms. The first is he is ignorant of the power of the Supreme Lord. He is ignorant of the power of the Supreme Lord. That's why he considers himself very powerful. And is really obsessed with his talents and qualifications. And whatever he does, he's very self-centered in that. Due to this ignorance of the glories of the Lord, he is unable to offer the respect and service to the Lord. Does that make sense? It's a pride, it's a false ego. He does not understand the position of the Lord and position of other devotees. So that's why what happens, because of his ignorance, he's ignorant of the glories of the Lord, he's unable to offer respect and worship to the Lord. So therefore, he needs a specific method. We can't, our sages, our acharyas, they have been so merciful. They can't leave these kind of people on their own fate. We have to have a method so that these kind of people, they can progress and they can purify themselves and progress and can come closer to Krishna. And therefore, these kind of the Kanishtha Adhikari, they need some specific method which they can follow and purify themselves. Prabhupada, he was visiting a Rath Yatra. And before, a day before the Rath Yatra function, it was the next day, he comes and he sees the cart of Lord Jagannath. He sees the cart of Lord Jagannath and he pays his prostrate obeisances, and then he gets up and his kurta is soiled and everything is like muddy. And he folds his hands, he says, this cart of Lord Jagannath is not different than the Lord himself. So the pure devotees of the Lord, they see Krishna everywhere. But the Kanishtha Adhikari, the people like us, they are not able to appreciate, they are not able to realize the presence of Krishna everywhere. So they need a specific location where they can go and offer the respect and service to the Lord. And those specific locations are temples, right? You can have temple at your home, you can have temple in the community like we are here. So this is the location. So they need a specific location. If you go out, we are not able to realize Krishna everywhere. So, second symptom, we talked about two symptoms of the Kanishtha Adhikari. The first is ignorant of the powers of the Krishna. That's why he considers himself powerful. The second symptom is he's uninterested in the Lord's paraphernalia and devotees. I hope it's not getting very technical or very... So I'm trying to not make it technical, like I'm just trying to make it easy. So, second symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari is he's uninterested in the Lord's paraphernalia, and including the devotees. The devotees are also the paraphernalia of the Lord. So he's not interested in them. So what happens, due to this, he does not know how to respect a devotee, how to deal with devotees. So he engages in disrespectful and neglectful dealings with the devotees. The neophyte stage, in the Bengnar's stage, in the Kanishtha Adhikari stage, it's very difficult for the devotees to get along. Because they don't have enough purification to have the proper dealings with other devotees. The false ego is like very high. So prolonged dealings, and the neophyte devotee, the prolonged dealings with other devotees, they lead to conflict. So that's why Prabhupada used to say, neophyte means always fight. In the temples, whenever they have the new devotees, brahmacharis and the new devotees, he used to say, neophyte means always fight. So it's interesting to know. And it's also interesting to know the origin of deity worship. What is the origin of deity worship? In Satyuga, there was prevalence of mode of goodness. And due to this mode of goodness, all the dealings were perfect. Everybody, the dealings between the devotee, between the person, with the normal population, they were all perfect because they were all in the mode of goodness. Everybody was perfectly discharging their duties. But as Treta Yuga began, our sages, they saw the manifestation of the negative qualities. And they saw that they could see the influence of the disrespectful dealings. And then the sages, they decided to introduce the deity worship. The Kanishtha Adhikari, due to their massive amount of false ego, when they deal with the other person, other people or other devotees, the other person is also having the big false ego. So they both, it's very difficult for them to continue peaceful dealings or friendly dealings for a long time. So if the Kanishtha Adhikari has to be purified, so there should be some method where his dealings are not interfering with his own false ego, right? He has to be dealing with somebody where there's no interference with his false ego. So instead of dealing with a devotee, if he starts serving the Lord, the deity, there's no interference with his false ego. There's no infringement on his false ego. So that's why in the neophyte stage, people are more comfortable with the deities than the devotees. So in the initial stage of, so what happens, like, when the stage that they introduce the deities, so that Kanishtha Adhikari, they can serve the deities without interference with their false ego. At the same time, they can get the satisfaction of serving the Lord. And at the same time, they can get purified. That's the most important. But Kanishtha Adhikari, if he has to come to the Madhyama Adhikari level, he has to get purified from inside. So that is how, this is the origin of deity worship. So when the Prabhupada, actually the dealing with the devotees is a higher stage, as we know, that's like, because in the initial stage, due to our false ego, we are not able to deal with other devotees. We are not able to engage ourselves in a peaceful dealing for a long time with other devotees. So, the dealing with devotees is a higher stage. The dealing with deities is the lower stage. The next higher stage is the dealing with the devotees. So, Prabhupada, he was constructing the temples in Mayapur, and they made the lotus building first, and the lotus building where devotees were supposed to come and stay. And the temple building It came afterwards, it came later. Somebody was asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you have not, you should have made the cost of the temple building first. You have made the, built the devotees' houses first, this lotus building. He replied, when the devotees, they come and stay here, they start chanting and the holy name of the Lord, the Lord will himself manifest. So that's why. Then another example, like in, he was in Bombay. In Bombay, in Juhu temple, there was a devotee quarters above the temple. And somebody asked the same question, Prabhu, you have the devotees are staying above the deities, like of the temple. What is this? How did you allow this? And he said, Mad Bhaktya Pujya Vidika. Said, worship of my devotees is greater than worshipping me. That is what Krishna said. Mad Bhaktya Pujya Vidika. See, this is important. But in the Kanishtha Adhikari stage, we are not able to realize that. We don't see that. We don't have that kind of appreciation for the Lord's devotees. Not only devotees, for the Lord's paraphernalia, but anything and everything connected with the Lord. So in the neophyte stage, what happens? Like, you know, this, we just want to connect ourselves with the Lord. We don't appreciate the Lord's paraphernalia, Lord's devotees. We don't have any appreciation for them. And there was one devotee, he was a good painter. And he was like, he joined his con and he made one painting where Krishna was sitting morose, like this. Krishna was sitting and so he showed that painting to Prabhupada. The Prabhupada, how is this? The Prabhupada, what happened? Why is Krishna sitting like this? So, no, Krishna is in separation of the gopis. Krishna is in separation of the gopis, so that's why he's sitting like this. Virarman, right? So, Prabhupada said, who told you this? Where did you get this concept? Krishna never sits like this. But Prabhupada, he did not want to discourage the devotee. He said, okay, just change the caption, make it Krishna had a headache. That pastime that the devotees, they bring their dust of their feet and give it to Krishna. So, okay, then let us make it Krishna had a headache. He said that Krishna is never alone. Have you ever seen Krishna in any picture where he's alone? Krishna means Krishna and his associates. The cows, the cowherd boys, the peacocks, they're all Krishna's associates. Krishna is never sitting alone like this. So he said, this is what the point I was trying to make, that in the neophyte stage, the devotee, they want to connect with the Lord, but they don't have appreciation of the Lord's paraphernalia. That is exactly what he did. So, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, this is an associate of the Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Rai. And this Ramananda Rai, everybody knows Ramananda Rai? No? Ramananda Rai was one of the associates of the Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, when he went on the tour of South India, then the other associate of the Lord, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he requested the Lord. He told the Lord that this Ramananda Rai is a very great devotee and you should meet him while you are going for the South India tour. And this Ramananda Rai, he was the governor of one of the area called Vidyanagar. And the king of the area was Pratap Rudra. So Pratap Rudra, Ramananda Rai was one of the governors of the king Pratap Rudra. So Pratap Rudra, he was the king, and there is a Lord Chaitanya, he did not allow him. He was a good devotee, the king also. He did not allow him to meet him. So, but the Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he was also a great devotee.
Then the Ramananda, he comes to Lord Chaitanya and he is requesting Lord, telling Lord, the Lord, the Prataparudra, the king, the Prataparudra Maharaj, he has given me the full pension. And he said, you need not to work, you go and serve Lord Chaitanya, you'll get the full pension. You see how elevated soul he is. He has so much of appreciation for your devotees. So please, why don't you allow him to see him? He's like, he's so desperate to see you. Lord Chaitanya says, Prabhu kahe tumi Krishna Bhakta Pradhan, tumi ke jo preet kare soi bhagyavan. He said, you are the devotee of Krishna. He has so much of affection for you. He has given you full pension so that you can come and live with me, to serve me. So Lord will, definitely Lord will embrace him. And Lord will going to be merciful and he's going to embrace him. So that is the, but the, see the Prataparudra. Prataparudra was, he was the king. And one of his subordinates, the governor is one of his subordinates. He has got so much of mercy from the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya was, days for days and days he was sitting and hearing the Krishna Katha from the Ramananda Rai. He has got so much of mercy from the Lord. But the king himself, Lord is not allowing you to meet him like that. So that, the Lord Chaitanya, so the king, you see like that, how the king is. King is the ruler of everything. And for him, his subordinate is getting more mercy than the Lord Chaitanya, than himself, is kind of insulting for him. But he was a very elevated devotee. He helped Ramananda Rai to go closer to Lord Chaitanya. He gave him the full pension. So his consciousness was very, very elevated, very, very advanced. But the Kanishtha Adhikari, people like us, the Kanishtha Adhikari, they don't have that kind of appreciation. That's why they need to focus on the Lord in his deity form. They don't have this kind of appreciation as Prataparudra Maharaj had. So that's why the Kanishtha Adhikari, he has to focus on the deity form of the Lord. So in order to facilitate the purification, Lord appears in his artha form. That is the causeless mercy of the Lord. That's the mercy of the Lord, that Lord has appeared in this deity form. There are five forms of the Lord. Lord has five forms. Para, Vyuha, Vaibho, Antaratma, and Archa. Antaryami and Archa. Para form is the Lord in the Golok Vrindavan, the Supreme Lord in person himself. That is Para. Vyuha is the first expansion of the Lord, is Vasudeva, Shankartan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So the first primary expansion of the Lord, they are called Vyuha. Then you have Vaibhav. Vaibhav is the Lord incarnating in different yugas and having his pastimes. So that is called Vaibhav. Then Antaryami is the Lord sitting in our heart as super soul. That is Antaryami. Then Archa is the deity form of the Lord. Kanishtha Adhikari, we do not have access of any of these first four forms of the Lord. We don't have access of Lord's para form. Definitely not. Vyuha, Vaibha, Antaryami. We don't have access to all these four forms. But we have only access. Lord has been so merciful. He has condensed all its four forms into one deity form, archa form, and he has appeared to help us to serve him and thus purify ourselves. So that's the second reason what we are talking about. That's the causeless mercy of the Lord on the Kanishtha Adhikari to appear in the deity form. So we don't have access to all these four forms, but Archa Vigraha is the causeless mercy of the Lord on the Kanishtha Adhikari. So after worshipping the deity in the temple for a long time, after worshipping the deity, when we engage ourselves in the devotional service, we worship the deity. For a long time, then slowly, slowly, our consciousness advances. We start getting purification from inside. So possibly, over a long period of time, we get purified. When we get purified, then we start appreciating the Lord's and His paraphernalia, His devotees, and then our dealings with other devotees improves. Then we can appreciate the other devotees. Then our relationship is much more stronger. But we are purified now, we can understand and appreciate the Lord's devotees. And when we come to that stage, then we can extend that mercy, we can go out, make friendship with other devotees, we can go out and preach Krishna consciousness. For the preaching also, we should have sufficient purification. If we don't have sufficient purification, our dealings with the other devotees or other our audience or the people whom we are preaching, after some time, will not be able to handle them properly. If we don't have sufficient purification, we'll not be able to handle them properly. And over a period of time, those people also will get frustrated with our dealings. So it's not going to continue for a long time. So this purification is very much required. And Prabhupada says this purification is purity is the force. If somebody is really pure, when he speaks, it directly convinces you. Directly goes into your heart. You don't have any questions, any doubts. It's very convincing. It's very effective. So when Prabhupada started preaching, he started the Rath Yatra in all his ISKCON temples worldwide. The devotees who were not coming to the temple, deities were going out to give darshana to other people. One Panda in Jagannath Puri, he objected. He said, Prabhupada, what are you doing? Jagannath is meant to be worshipped in Jagannath Puri. You are taking him all over the world. What is this? Prabhupada replied, he said, Jagannath, he is Lord Jagannath, he is the Lord of the universe. He is not Uliyanath. He is the Lord of the universe. His presence is meant to purify the whole world. So that is the whole reason when the deities are going out, people who are not even interested, they look at the deities and they get purified. So it's very, very important to develop the appreciation for the Lord's devotees. There was one instance. There was one devotee of Suvijnana Acharya. I think it was in Odia or Bengal, somewhere like that. He was visiting Vrindavan. He was visiting Vrindavan and he used to do madhukari. He used to take diksha. He used to take diksha and just eat it. He used to like just go once in the morning and just whatever he gets, he eats it like, and then he'll just engage himself in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So he used to do madhukari. She goes and he sees like one Brajavasi, he was eating roti, and he goes that, Prabhuji, I am a sadhu, I am a sannyasi, I am a sadhu, can you give me some roti? So this Brajavasi, he was eating some roti, he takes it out, he gave it to him. So Suvijnana Acharya, he was like shocked, what are you doing? He started chastising him, what are you doing? You are giving the roti which you are chewing and you are taking out from your mouth and giving it to me, jhootha? What is this? While he was chastising this Brajavasi, Lord Krishna appeared. The Lord appeared himself. He said, you can't appreciate the position of these devotees, the Brajavasis. you can't appreciate. With your mundane consciousness, you cannot appreciate the position of this Brajvasi. Please accept whatever he is giving. He is a very elevated soul. So that is our situation. Like our, you see our situation. What is our situation? We can't appreciate any of the Lord devotees. Like we don't have that capability and capacity or purification. We are not at that stage. People even say, like, when you go to Vrindavan, we should not argue with even with the rickshawala. He takes 5 rupees more, give it to him. Don't argue with him. Don't offend him. This 5 rupees and 10 rupees, 50 rupees has no value for you. Why you are arguing with him, like, why you are offending him? So many people have told me. So many sannyasis have told me. Unnecessary, you are going to Vrindavan to have some, why you are getting some karma? You are getting some. It happens like when we go to Vrindavan, we are not able to appreciate these Brajavasis. Because somebody is driving rickshaw, somebody is selling chai, somebody is selling pakodas. You think like they are all ordinary people. But from our mundane consciousness, we can't appreciate their position. We can't appreciate the position of people sitting here like now. There are so many people, they can be very elevated than us. We are not able to see them, see their position. A relative position of the devotees. So, the third reason, the third reason is the conditioned soul has a tendency to enjoy. Right? We all have the conditioned soul has a tendency to enjoy, and the deity worship helps us to change our vision. What is our vision? Whatever we see, we want to enjoy. We go out, we say nice car, and we think, hey, this I should have this car. You go and see the nice girl and somebody is dating with that girl. He's a stupid guy. I'm smarter than him. I should be dating with this girl. So everybody, whatever we look at, any object or any situation, we want to enjoy any situation, any object. That is our vision. All the time, we're trying to enjoy. It's hot outside. We should go and sit in the air conditioning inside. This is all we're trying to enjoy all the time. We have to change, and what is the vision of a devotee? The devotee's vision is, he sees everything as a paraphernalia for the Lord's enjoyment. And we look everything to enjoy ourselves. That's the difference. That's the difference. So this deity worship, it helps us to change our vision. How it helps us? There was a nice joke. This in Bhagavad Gita they say it's premanyan churita bhakti vilochanena. Premanyan churita bhakti vilochanena. So that's the vision of a devotee. And what is our vision? Kamanyan churita bhakti vilochanena. Kamanyan churita bhakti vilochanena. So we are eyes tainted with the desire to enjoy. We are seeing every object with our eyes tainted with the desire to enjoy. So, kamanyan churita bhukti vilochanena. That was a good one. So, this has to be changed. This vision or this propensity has to be changed. How can we change that? In the canto, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, and he describes to Uddhava, Dravyena Prasadhyar Madhyagar. There is a shloka, it's called Dravyena Prasadhyar Madhyagar Pratima Dishu Amayina Bhaktasya Cha Yatha Labdhair Hirdi Bhavena Chaiva. What it means? It means when a person does not have advanced consciousness, when a person does not have advanced consciousness, he should worship the Lord with elaborate paraphernalia. People like us, the Kanishtha Adhikaris, we should worship the Lord with very elaborate paraphernalia. What does that mean? We should dress the Lord. We should dress the Lord with expensive dressing. We should offer the best we could. We could offer the jewelry to the Lord.
the best we could or the maximum what we could based on one's capability, capacity. So Krishna is telling Uddhava, for the people whose consciousness is not advanced, they should worship the Lord with elaborate paraphernalia. Prasiddhair. Prasiddhair is very opulent. But for the people who have advanced consciousness, for the pure devotees or for the Uttam Adhikaris, Hridi Bhavena Chaiva, for them it's not required. For them, having a bhava in their heart is enough. Because we are not at this stage. So this elaborate worshipping is required for the Kanishtha Adhikaris, for people like us. Why? We may not be able to appreciate the power of the Lord. We may not be able to appreciate the power of the Lord with our mundane consciousness. But we are definitely able to appreciate the kind of jewelry Lord is wearing, the kind of chappan bhoga is being offered to the Lord. We always look at the plate only. See, this person is getting 6 times a day this chappan bhoga. This must be some powerful person. This definitely must be some powerful person. That's how he's getting chappan bhoga six times a day. And slowly, slowly, when we serve the Lord with elaborate paraphernalia and we make the arrangements for serving the Lord with this elaborate paraphernalia, our propensity of our enjoyment, it transfers to the Lord. Does that make sense? Over a period of time, it does not happen overnight. When you continue engaging yourself, offering, worshipping the Lord with elaborate paraphernalia, then over a period of time, your propensity to enjoyment is going to be transferred to the Lord. Then you will start, that will change your vision. You will start looking everything as in paraphernalia for the Lord's enjoyment instead of yours enjoyment. So that is how the deity worship helps us. So, Janmashtami dress for the Tirupati Balaji. One Janmashtami dress for the Tirupati Balaji, 8 crore rupees. We may not have any appreciation for the deity, for the Lord himself, but we know this person is wearing a dress for 8 crore. It's like $2 million. One dress. There was a program on this Tirupati Balaji, what all they do, how do they worship the Lord and everything. They have pet cats. And that perfume, that the cat, when it rubs its body with that sandalwood tree, gets some special perfume. And they are pet cats. By this temple management, they do all these things and just to offer that incense to the Lord. They're spending like crores and crores of rupees in there. They are growing the flowers in how many acres of land? Like some few thousand acres of land. Just to offer those flowers to the Lord. How many tons of flowers are offered to the Lord every day? How much it was like? How much it was, Manju? 500 tons. It was a 1 hour program on how they worship the Lord in Tirupati Balaji. 500 tons flower daily. I don't know. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like, so we may not have any appreciation of the Lord who's sitting in this threefold bending form. I don't know. I don't have any appreciation for his powers and glories. But at least I can appreciate the dress of 8 crore. When the Prabhupada mentions in one of the plays that Tirupati Balaji or Balaji is Krishna and the cowherd in a cowherd boy. Krishna as a cowherd boy. We don't get that impact. Like we don't all of a sudden if somebody tells you Krishna is a cowherd boy, you don't realize how he's the Supreme Lord. But when somebody tells you the daily collection of Tirupati temple is 1 crore, their daily humdi collection is 1 crore, oh, Balaji is very great. All of a sudden your eyes get widened. So Balaji is really great. This is what the point we are trying to make it here. And engage yourself in an elaborate worship of the Lord with elaborate paraphernalia. Slowly and slowly, your propensity of enjoyment will be transferred to the Lord. Your vision will change. Your Kamanyan Churit becomes Primanyan Churit then. So this is Prabhupada. He visited one temple. See, sometimes we try to impose our consciousness on the deities also. Again the same thing, like, you know, when you are not sufficiently purified, you can't appreciate these things, like, you know. We are not at this stage. So this temple president, he said to Prabhupada, he tells Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is, he brings the Mahaprasad, and the deity sweets, they don't have any sugar in that. It's a sugar, they don't have any sugar in that. With the Mahaprasad, the deity sweets. So Prabhupada asked him, what is this? No, Prabhupada, this sugar is not good for health. Prabhupada did not say anything that time, like, no, this is an, but in the evening after the temple program, he was sitting and he asked, like, oh, to bring the puris. And then he asked his servant to bring one bowl of sugar. The servant brought one bowl of sugar. Then he started, he took one puri and he dipped that puri in the sugar and he started eating, like. And the temple president was there. Prabhupada said, the Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he describes how the Krishna is enjoying. The puri is called luchi. Luchi chini sarapure laddu rasbale. He said, Krishna is enjoying, what is your problem? Why are you imposing your consciousness on, if you have sugar, it does not mean you should not offer sweet to Krishna. So that is how sometimes it happens, like, no? But sometimes, you're running short of time. We say this, there is a question people ask, like, no, when the Yuga Dharma is chanting, hearing and chanting, why should we do the deity worship? It's a valid question, right? Prabhupada says, deity worship, like in ISKCON, we talked about the Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi. ISKCON, we follow both, we do both. So the Yuga Dharma, yes, it's right, Yuga Dharma is hearing and chanting, why should we do the deity worship? The Prabhupada says the deity worship, there are three reasons for that. Deity worship decreases your material contamination. Second is it decreases non-devotional tendencies. The third, it makes your mind steady from the materially conditioned form. So chanting and hearing and chanting is the primary means. Hearing and chanting is the primary means, and the deity worship is the auxiliary means. So if you are worshipping the deity, it makes your mind steady so that you can focus on your hearing and chanting. So deity worship helps to improve your hearing and chanting. But your Prabhupada gives an analogy. He says, the different limbs of the bhakti are the body, then the hearing and chanting is the soul. The hearing and chanting is the most important thing, but the quality of hearing and chanting improves if you are engaged yourself in deity worship, and deity worship helps you to purify yourself. The last reason why we should engage ourselves in deity worship, the deity protects you. While you are leaving this body, if you have worshipped the deity, they come personally to take you back to Krishna. So that's the power of a deity. If you are really attached with the deity, that deity protects you. There is this Bharat Maharaj, right? Maharaj Bharat, when he got a birth as a deer, But he
he was attached, he did lot of devotional service in his previous birth. So he could remember that I was so and so in the previous birth. And so his deity worship helped him. So in the dear birth also he could remember his previous life. So that he could, that life, in the next life he could again get as a human birth. So deity worship, deity, they protect us. So So Prabhupada has mercifully given us so many temples where we can go and engage in deity worship. We can go anywhere, we can have a temple at our home, we can get ourselves engaged in deity worship.